listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
I'm not.
The past is another country. 987 is just the Isle of Wight.
APP Services in association with Who1.co.uk present the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast number 103. I'm Adam.
Evolution.
Why did you have to yawn at that particular point?
I'm tired.
Oh dear. And why might you be tired?
Well, I went to bed at 6 a.m.
What time did you get up?
10 a.m.
And why did you go to bed at 6 a.m. instead of the normal time?
Sleepover.
And the sleepover involved who?
Levi and Harriet.
And what was it in aid of?
Just a girly sleepover, really.
What time did Harriet get up?
I woke her up.
Right, okay. So, basically, a pointless gallivanting session, in other words.
Not really. When Tesco's about 9 o'clock at night, that was good. Then we got McDonald's.
So you live such a thrilling life that your highlight of the evening was a visit to Tesco's.
No. It's quite funny though.
Why was it funny?
Watched this television series called Summer Heights.
What, in Tesco's?
So, no, I'm leaving myself Summer Heights High. You go on DVD, it's so funny.
Is it? Yeah. American or British?
British. It's a British actor doing Australian accents. It's set in Australia. No, it's British, but it's set in Australia.
Yeah.
Suspicious series. It was like, it's so funny. And you go on DVD. You probably won't get the humour of it.
I don't know. I'm just saying I haven't got a sense of humour.
No, no, I'll show you it.
I don't want to see it.
No, I'll show you a bit of it in a minute.
I don't want to see a bit of it in a minute. Well then, this week we're reviewing Boomtown.
Where are we really?
Yes, Boomtown. What? From series 1.
Wow.
It's episode 10. Was it episode 11? Episode 11, in fact. Of series 1. Go on, Alicia. Here she goes with her.
That was about Sylvain.
Thank you for that.
But Mark, what's her name? Blondie.
Blondie?
Yeah.
Blonde, I think her
name was. It was Blondie.
Blonde, I think her name was.
Blonde.
You carry on.
Blonde.
Yes, go on then.
And Margaret.
What happens?
No, I found the humour really good in this one.
Do you?
Yeah, it's just really funny. Can you think
of any particular funny bits to stick to mind?
Just most of it's just funny.
Lots of funny lines. Can you think of any that spring to mind?
How about you?
Now you come to mention it, there were quite a few that make me chuckle, but when I try and think of what they are...
Exactly, wee!
Makes it a bit tricky. I like the way the Captain Jack and the Doctor... sort of bounce off each other.
Yeah.
And he calls the Captain Jack Big Boy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bit where Mickey enters the TARDIS and the Doctor and Jack are sort of messing around and they sort of have a strange sort of flirt or mock flirting between them. It's quite amusing. Come on, it's got to be able to think of one funny line.
No.
God, there must be one, isn't there? There's some funny bits, isn't there? Like when they're like Mickey when he's trying to be cool and puts his foot in the bucket, and he's still got the toilet paper around his leg when they all get back together again, and the Doctor uses his sonic screwdriver to stop us from teleporting.
I thought it was really, really good. I like that one. It's like a nice, one you could just watch.
Yes, it's comedy. It has, comedy Who at its best.
Then was it? How do you pronounce it?
Ratsacoricopalatosaurus.
No,
what?
The bad wolf thing in Welsh. You should know. You're a bit Welsh. We lived in Wales. So God knows.
Yeah, that makes it easy to. Oh, I can't remember. Blad something rather.
Should know Welsh. To be honest. Lived in Wales, didn't you?
Blad thingy. Something Welsh.
Well. Don't know any Welsh and you've lived in Wales. That's a bit bad, isn't it?
Yes, it was. Well, Magic's, as you can hear, is on my side. Thank you, Magic. Yeah.
He's got a limp back on. It's weak. He always gets it at night time.
He gets it. Oh, hang on. Got a burp coming. Right. Anyway, obviously this one's set in Cardiff, which is quite... Who asked you?
Oh, yes, where the Doctor Who Experience is.
Actually here, where they're actually this is set. Or actually, you're saying that's because that's in Cardiff.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Well, it's actually the Doctor Who Experience is actually going to be there, right in that spot.
Could be. I don't know. I'm not sure, though. It'll be near there, anyway. But the fact that, obviously, that they've been in Cardiff filming all this and setting it all around the universe, and they've finally actually come to the point where they're actually going to set it in Cardiff, where the series is actually set. It's also interesting because I think this particular spot is where the hub of Torchwood is. And there's Captain Jack, you know, there, around about where his new place of work will be.
And now he's in America.
Because you know it is, because that's where the rift is.
Yeah, but now he's in America.
Is he?
Captain Jack.
Oh, right, okay. But, yeah, because all these scenes are very Torchwood-y because of the settings and stuff. And, Blythe Doog, wasn't it? Blythe Doog? Yeah, I got it right!
Blythe
Droog. Droog. Which is Welsh for...
Bad Wolf.
Bad Wolf. Yeah.
So now we know Wolf is in Welsh. Droog.
Doog, yeah. Well, it's a dog, isn't it? Doog. Deputy Doog.
Why has Welshers got their own language?
Why have Englishers got their own language? Why it's have like Frenchers got their own
language? Scottish haven't got their own language.
So that's called Gaelic.
Go on.
What?
No, it says some Gaelic.
I don't know any. Oh, stop it. But yeah, you put me off.
It's like us having our own language.
We have got our own language. It's called English.
No, like the Isle of Wight. Does the Isle of Wight have no...
The Isle of Wight has got its own language. It's called Isle of Wight.
Isle of Wight.
But yeah, that's the first bit, isn't it, that you said it's really funny?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. He goes, doctor... just say the doctor, okay? Then just hear it go quiet when the plate smashes.
Yeah, so...
Then he comes up, yeah, she's got mountain up of paperwork. He's like, she's climbing out the window, ain't she?
Yeah.
Yes, she is.
Yeah, but I just quite funny that it's a doctor. So he goes in there, hear the smashing of the plate, and that was really good.
The doctor. Don't say anything else. Just the doctor. Smash.
So Eccleston's facial expressions throughout this episode are particularly good.
This is when he's like, oh my...
Oh, yeah, so when Mickey falls into the... I'm just fast-forwarding through it to try and see if we can remember any of the funny lines, and then it's sticking. Captain, there was a bit where they all gathered together and Captain Jack was saying, well, you do this, you do that, I do this, you do that, Doctor. And
he goes, and Doctor's like...
who's in charge. anything else? They do look like a good little team together, don't they?
Mm.
The four of them.
It's like Fantastic Four, isn't it?
Yeah, this is the only time until the Stolen Earth and... was it the one after Stolen Earth?
An episode, you know? Just an episode.
That one, but you actually get the four of them together in the TARDIS.
Yeah.
But that's... No, it's not, because it's Tennant's Doctor, not the Ninth Doctor. This is the only episode, then, that you get the four of them together.
They could work a good team.
Shame, really. But, this is also that bit where the Doctor sort of susses out that Bad Wolf's been following him around, and then he says, yeah, could be a coincidence. But he knows full well it is, and he's just trying to sort of... Because you can see Rose is getting freaked out by it. Mm. And then... Well, there must be a few other funny bits, wasn't there? But there's also that bit where Margaret is guilt-tripping them all while they're in the TARDIS.
Yeah.
She's obviously going to be sentenced to death because the whole Slitheen family have been... sentenced to death on Ratsikoroko Falibatorius.
You see, yeah.
So she's using the guilt that the Doctor or the Doctor and his friends might have, even though she's forgetting the fact that she tried to kill the whole of the human race.
Exactly.
And
that's what the Doctor says, that though, don't he?
Well, if you think about it, in normal society, anybody who's been a bit of a mass murderer ends up getting their comeuppance. Colonel Gaddafi, for instance. Nobody really felt sorry for him when who ended up getting murdered by his own people, Saddam Hussein.
Who, who's that?
Never mind. By his own people because of his being a bit of a tyrant.
I think it's going to be Joseph Kony soon. He's going to be get killed by his own people.
Who?
Joseph Kony.
Who's he?
Probably most. You don't know who Joseph Kony is?
No. But can we move back to Doctor Who?
Yep.
Well, when the Doctor takes Margaret for a meal in the restaurant, and he keeps intercepting all of her attempts to either kill him or... I think she's actually is trying to kill him, isn't she?
Yeah.
And it's very similar to River Song's attempts to kill the Doctor in Let's Kill Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Stephen Moffat might have borrowed the idea from this scene? Yes. Do you think Stephen Moffat's not particularly good at using his own ideas?
Doctor Who, isn't
he? Okay. Meanwhile, of course, we have the scenes. This is the only sort of slightly boring bits of it when Rose and Mickey are sort of chatting and Mickey's trying to get Rose to go with him into a hotel room. And Rose agrees to do this.
Yeah, but Rose is just talking about the Doctor the whole time.
No, but that's the thing, isn't it? She's telling Mickey about all the adventures they've had we haven't seen.
Yeah.
So obviously you can tell that the four of them have sort of struck up a relationship. So they must have Captain Jack, etc. And he's talked about going on all sorts of journeys, isn't he, in Torchwood. And that must be the time. There must be a big gap between when they picked up Captain Jack and when they part here, in which they had lots of unseen adventures. Mm. Which is quite interesting. And yes, quite a lot of adventures she relays to Mickey, which he feels rather left out about. Having skived off school in Cardiff for many years, it doesn't look anything like the Cardiff I knew. And I certainly never went to Cardiff Bay, which is where these scenes are shot.
Why?
Because I was more interested in hanging around the city and going around the shops and going to the what was then the Cardiff Arms Park, the old rugby national rugby ground before the Millennium Stadium was built. Because bear in mind, this was in the late 70s, early 80s. All hell breaks loose, doesn't it? Because she sets the extrapolator thing up to sort of cause some sort of chain reaction that's going to blow up the city. You make the rift blow up the city.
Yeah.
And I think about the funny line.
No, it doesn't just blow up the city, it blows up the whole earth.
Oh, yeah. Well, initially it was going to blow up the city, and then they realised it was going to blow up the earth. But he opens up... Well, the TARDIS opens itself up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And shows her the heart of the TARDIS, which then makes her all go back to being an egg. Now, the interesting thing of that is, of course, they use this particular element of the TARDIS. Rose remembers it and uses it because she thinks it's going to help save the Doctor. And that culminates eventually in the Doctor dying and regenerating into David Tennant. Mm.
Yeah.
But,
she's an egg.
Oh, yeah? I mean, is she?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, there you go. Good story, and as I will be discussing later...
I can't stay here, can I go to bed, please?
Not yet, let me finish. I'll be discussing the comedy elements in greater detail later on with the show with the other chaps. What are the other chaps called?
I don't care, I just want to go to bed.
Shall we do eBay, then? Well, if you stop slouching, you might be able to...
Dad, I'm not joking, please. I just want to go to bed.
Well, if you sit up...
No, don't make me sit up. Just do eBay.
Right, number one item is... That original.
Number plate.
No. Original 1966 Dalek art from the TV Century 21 comic run... .. Know what that means. But nevertheless, it's refeatured at £3,850. Some... Dalek artwork for TV comics, I think. This looks quite familiar. Looks like the stuff... Oh, it is. Oh, yeah, I saw some of that when I was little. Flying Daleks, etc. in cartoons. Very good. So that's the item that's got the most expensively listed. But no bids against it, obviously. Nobody's going to pay £3,000 for that, not unless they've just got money to burn. And if I had money to burn, I still probably wouldn't buy it. But the item that's got most bids against it, the most expensive item, is 16mm black and white Land of Fear Doctor Who 1964 revised. Land of Fear, eh? Anyway, it's listed at £370. And I'm quite interested in this feature because it looks like a film. Let's have a look. Land of Fear. This is really interesting. That's something historic on eBay to do with Doctor Who. Don't snore, by the way, please, because it'll be picked up on the microphone. Doesn't actually say. Vintage good condition, vintage episode of the BBC television series. This title is part of a very substantial collection of rare titles from a collection just purchased from UK Collector. The collection consists of features, sound and silent, short stories, dramas, featurettes in black and white and colour, documentary, sound and silent, all to be listed at as time permits. Don't mind all that nonsense. What about this one? Land of Fear, 1964. Has a trailer on the end for the next week's episode. What story is it from? Thanks for that. This says Land of Fear from 1964. So let's have a look. Is there a picture? We'll have to have a look into that one. Doctor Who, Land of Fear. So that's number one item. I'm just interested if that turned out to be one of the missing episodes and they just got it listed on eBay. That'd be amazing. The BBC wouldn't be very happy because they just want their episodes back. Right, so number one, are you asleep? What a surprise. Alicia? Alicia? Alicia?
Mm-hmm.
I can do eat the rest of eBay on my own. Go to bed.
Okay, I'm so tired.
Good night.
Can I have a drink?
Yes, when I'm ready. Good night. Yes. Should really have been in bed ages ago, but good night. Second item is Doctor Who Collection 77 DVDs Classic Bundle Job Lot. Lots of DVDs. £185. That one. And the final item is... You're back here. You've left a charger down here. Okay. Doctor Who TARDIS Wardrobe. £150. One bid against that.
And
I'm really quite curious to see what episode... Right, so the Doctor Who Land of Fear is one of the episodes of Reign of Terror. Right, on with the show.
Hi, this is Lou Jameson, or Louise Jameson, and you're listening to the 20 Megabytes Doctor Who podcast. Rah!
And here we are with Ben Shoveler.
Hello!
Rhys Barton.
Hello.
Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Hello.
And Robert Haynes.
Good afternoon.
And because Kirby's decided to change time zones in the United States of America, we're going to crack straight on with our review show for this week. It's an episode called Boomtown. Now, this particular episode is written by Russell T. Davis, and it's set 6 months after the goings-on in the previous Slitheen story. World War III, yes, that's it.
World War VI.
I hadn't actually watched this episode for a while, and I'd forgotten initially how funny it was.
It was apart from the
very dark beginning of it, where Gwen's dad gets killed by Margaret. I don't know how he... Well, he got killed, so how did he come back to be Gwen's dad and then he died again?
I think they recast, didn't they?
It's
very
confusing.
Yes, they did recast.
It's Gwen's dad.
But I agree with you in the fact about the episode being really lighthearted and funny, especially when they were trying to blow Cardiff up with a nuclear power <outbreak. laughs>
Yes, there should have been some letters from the sheep fanciers group of...
Dear Barry Took, I'd like to complain most heartedly about you blowing up Cardiff again.
No sheep were hurt in this production.
No sheep were harmed in the filming of this episode.
Yes.
And Cardiff actually got to play itself.
Yeah.
What?
What do you mean, what? Has Cardiff got to play itself and then you went, what?
like you're reacting to your own comment.
No, Reese. No, Reese was saying something I didn't hear.
Oh, I didn't hear it either. But I was just thinking, you know, where Gwen's dad gets attacked by Margaret out of a Slovene costume. How, in this instance, Margaret, or sorry, the Slovene, or the Ratsikoriko Falabatorian, suddenly turns into a squealing pig. Now, is that some sort of reference to the pig that we had in, you know, the first Slovene story? Because when she's about to attack that girl, a pregnant girl, later on in the episode, she doesn't make any, you know, she gets out of a costume and she still talks like herself, but with a slight ring modulation to her voice. Certainly doesn't sound like a squealing pig.
So that's true.
But I think, but you got to take into effect she was really relishing. So maybe when she gets excited, she gets...
She squeals like a
squealing.
Pig.
Yeah.
So anyway...
She was in that.
Mickey turns up in Cardiff. Poor
with longer
Mickey.
Hair.
With longer hair? Well, no, it's six
I'm
months
just,
later.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen the first few episodes, obviously because I was in hospital, but I haven't seen Mickey that young for a while, so it just seemed funny with him with hair and being a lot younger than I'm used to seeing him before.
No, maybe so, yeah.
I have a slight problem with all of this.
Yes.
And that is, I know that Mickey was kind of there at the beginning.
Yes.
When he saw Rose and the Doctor disappear. But later on in the series, you get the thing with Martha. And the Doctor saying, oh, yes, but you've only been away for one night. No one will notice you've gone. So how come Mickey notices that Rose is gone? If you see what I mean, how come he feels...
Because it's 6 months later.
Yeah, but how come he feels a lag of time when nobody else does?
Whose phone's ringing?
Whose phone?
That's
not mine.
That's all right. The wife will get it.
Oh.
There you go.
That's handy. They are quite handy.
Midlands, Lloyd, have you got some sort of informal loan protection that you want to pay off? Then press one.
We get those.
Anyway, we're talking about making a big deal over...
You said about Mickey... Mickey, yeah. and remembering this. I think it might be the gift of the TARDIS that he's able to remember such things.
Yeah, I was thinking that they're obviously going to write something about it.
What moment are you talking about, though?
Well, there's lots of moments, isn't there?
Memories, yeah.
Nobody else seems to notice that somebody's gone. Like Rose's mum doesn't notice that she's gone because she's only gone for effectively a night, and... You know,
no,
when
she
the doctor popped.
Gone for 6 months.
No, it does say 6 months.
No. It doesn't say she's gone for 6 months. It says it's 6 months later.
Oh.
Now, using the TARDIS, you can go to 6 months later, 30 seconds after.
Yeah, that's
you
a good
out.
Point, actually. What they're saying, it's 6 months later on from when Downing Street blew up.
Yeah.
So other things
yeah,
have
that's
happened.
That's why they did the recap at the beginning. Yeah.
But it's not 6 months later that since
Rose, since we've seen Mickey or since we've seen.
And even if it is 6 months later, it's only 6 months for Rose, not for Mickey, because Mickey's timeline continues as normal.
Yes. And anyway, this is very confusing for such a small part of the
episode.
Yeah,
you're just confusing me.
After, well, Rose can be popped back to the day after she went.
Yes.
That's the whole idea of the time machine. So why is Mickey then missing her? Because he doesn't know...
Oh, that's a very... Now I see what you're getting at now. Well, I see that's rubbish writing from Russell T. Davis, isn't it?
No, I'd say that was a Stephen Moffat plot hole.
Oh, would you?
Anyway, I'm not quite getting what you're talking about.
Don't worry about
that
it. Let's
happen,
let's
that
move
obviously
on.
Obviously, didn't happen.
Yeah, let's move on.
No, it's a very good point.
It is a very good point. But we're moving on from it now because Mickey's arrived at the TARDIS, and we get some immediate superb banter between him and Captain Jack.
No, Biggie.
Sorry.
And big ears.
Just that whole scene was wonderful, and where the doctor says, buy me a drink first. And
I was drinking just then, Ben. I was drinking, and you said big ears, and I nearly sprayed the computer screen.
Now, that headlight on the doctor's forehead.
It's a bicycle lamp, isn't it?
Since it's blinking, it doesn't do a whole lot for helping anyone see, unless Time Lord eyes see different wavelengths or something.
Really?
I think there's some sort of link into a future Davros.
Yeah.
Our friends put one of those, put the light on your head so you can see what you're doing.
Well, this is the point where he says, something about big ears, isn't he, up on the thing?
Yeah,
which is one of the first sort of proper insults the Doctor's ever had from an alleged friend.
It's called banter, dear.
It's called funny.
Well, the second Doctor used to rip into the third Doctor.
Yeah, but that scene, it just had my favourite bit from that section where he says, buy me a drink first, and Captain Chat says, you're such hard work, but I'm worth it. Just brilliant.
Oh, they're flirting so much, aren't they?
They are. I think this must be the point at which Captain Jack starts feeling a bit emotionally connected to the Doctor. But the other thing about this, of course, that they go later on in the episode to a restaurant and they discuss the adventures they've had since they left the Empty Child Doctor Dances sort of scenario. And it sounds like they've had actually built up quite a rapport and quite a team sort of.
They did that again with Amy and the Doctor, because the Doctor's telling Rory a story of how he reattached somebody's head, and then Rory asks Amy, do you believe this? And she said, I was there. So they've done that again.
But if you notice, it's a lot of stuff that they couldn't show on screen anyway, like oceans freezing.
Yeah, I know. But the fact that they're talking about it just indicates that they've spent a lot of time together from that. So obviously, if anybody wants to write any, sort of fill-in stories as a novel or whatever, they can have Captain Jack, Rose and the Doctor together and...
Adventure
obviously, ending. The Doctor was in this incarnation for a lot longer than we sort of feel he was because of the time they went off and spent together during this period. I don't know if I've missed a bit when another great line where Mickey says to Captain Jack, what are you a captain of? The innuendo squad.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Absolute brilliance.
Yes? Is that a line about Jack or was it John Barrowman?
A bit of both, I suspect.
Yeah. Yeah.
I still don't like the way that they changed the character of Captain Jack so massively. He was so different in these first couple of episodes.
He was just more cheerful. He wasn't as scarred as he was in Torture.
He wasn't developed upon, though.
It's just a bit like the Doctor's character was from 9 to 10 was different because he was scarred and Rose healed him of the scarring. I think it's the other way around with Jack. He wasn't scarred and the traumas he's been through. Since being made, because obviously every time he dies, it's got to be excruciatingly painful, and it would mark someone psychologically, wouldn't it?
And being buried for 2,000 years,
that wouldn't have made him particularly happy.
He was buried alive, and he keeps coming back alive.
Yeah.
Well, the one where he's blown to smithereens, and his body had to knit itself back together as well.
Yeah.
And
I
seem to remember him going owl a couple of times during that process.
I remember when they dropped the concrete rune and it just broke, and the way Gwen had it in his coat and he just put it over his shoulder and walked off butt naked.
He loves John Barrowman loves those sort of scenes, doesn't he? Sorry, Ben, you were going to say something.
Yeah, I suppose that after they've done the whole situation of the next couple of episodes where he gets brought back to life for the first time, I suppose that could change one's personality somewhat.
Mm. But I'm sort of... Technically, he's still the same old Jack. He's just a younger.
No,
sort of...
he's not at all. No.
He's still got same sort of arrogance and the same.
He's still got the same face, and that's
He's got an arrogant flair to him, like that bit where they're going after Margaret, and he starts orchestrating how they're going to go about their plan.
Yeah, even that said differently to how we'd say it at the end of the last series of Torchwood.
Yeah,
his whole demeanour, his whole personality had changed beyond recognition from the first couple of times you saw him. Where he was this happy-go-lucky space agent-y type person, who would gladly jump into bed with anything male or female.
Yeah,
it turned to this quite dark,
anything in between,
saddened character who would only ever look at blokes by the look of it, and even if they were 89 or 100 or however old that old chap was in Torchwood. And I just think. I think they'd have got more out of the character if they'd have left Captain Jack as he was to start with, where he was more happy-go-lucky and bubbly, almost more child TV, children's TV than adult TV. And I suppose
Utopia, he was still that way in Utopia, where he was flirting with everything.
That's because you're not allowed to show all the stuff that he does in Torchwood on Doctor Who.
Excuse me a moment. I've just got to kill one of the dogs.
Okay.
less breakfast to make dogs like that.
I think it was quite happy-go-lucky in the seventh episode of Miracle Day when they had the flashback episode where he met Angelo. And I thought he was still quite happy-go-lucky until towards the end when they discovered he could come back to life and he was apparently cursed by the devil. And I thought he was quite the normal Jack until towards the end there when he was kind of exiled.
Okay, well,
I mean, he is looking so much younger in these episodes as well. I think Torch would wore him down.
No, I mean, I think I can obviously see why the character could change so dramatically. Because, as we just said, being killed lots of times.
You miss this Jack, don't you, Ben?
I do. I think this Jack added a lot to Doctor Who. I thought he was a really good companion to have.
Oh, I agree. This is where I say, these missing episodes would have been lovely to see them, all together. Because all we got really was this episode as them as a team. I know they were, together in the next story, but they split up very early on, didn't they? So this is the first and only episode. But you did make it feel like they've been together for a while quite well,
Only because they had all their stupid tag team stuff when they were going, TARDIS crew and stuff.
Yeah, fair enough. So. But it did work well. And this is one of my favourite episodes now. But anyway, going back to the story, obviously the young female reporter is the next on Margaret's hit list. But she sort of...
Is that the one that goes into the bathroom?
Yeah, they go into the toilet and she gets a pang of sort of... what's the word? Not compassion, I suppose you'd call it, wouldn't you? When she starts talking about being pregnant and getting married and stuff like that. And it sort of stops Margaret from murdering her, which is quite interesting in a way.
Ah!
Yes?
You skipped over that scene when she's talking about all the murders. Well, all the people who had died connected to the project and Margaret skimming over everything,
that was a really good scene. Oh, the reason why I missed that, because you lot were talking about
it. It was very
icy.
Yeah.
That was brilliant. I should have actually made a note of that, because there was a good scene, in relation to the comedy lines written for her.
Yeah, it was just a whole list of deaths.
That would have fitted in the two Ronnies quite nicely, that particular scene.
Yeah.
Go on, Reece, sorry.
One of my favourite comedy moments is where later on when the Doctor's trying to meet up with Margaret and he tells the secretary to just tell her the Doctor's here.
Yeah, I know.
He goes in there, the door shuts, the glass breaks, and then he comes back out and tries to cover it up, and then he goes, "She's climbing out the window, isn't she?"
Yeah, that is the scene that Alicia picked out as her favourite scene from the, comedy scene from the story. But yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. You just hear that little... ting! Smash. Sort of smashing noise in the background.
He's climbing out the window, isn't she?
Teacup.
Yeah. Of course, where the TARDIS is parked, it looks very iconic anyway, in that sort of set. But the interesting part of that, of course, is exactly where the Torchwood hub is. Mm-hmm. Now, do you reckon the hub's already there underground? Because did they just sort of take over a vacant, thing to turn it into the Torchwood hub or what? Phone?
What about all the cracking?
Sorry, cracking?
Well, when the ground cracks.
Oh yeah, but that's later on in the episode, isn't it?
No, but I'm saying if the Torchwood hub was there, wouldn't that be?
Wouldn't it be affected by it? It's reinforced though, isn't it? Apart from when in Children of Earth they blow it up.
It's interesting. You've just got me thinking, because the way we look at the show,
you're thinking
that hasn't happened.
What's wrong?
I know, it's dangerous, I know, I'll be quick. the way we look at the show is the Doctor, events happen as the Doctor experiences them, and obviously Torchwood is set up in the next season or series.
Yes.
And
winter.
And so they haven't come up with it yet. So, we refer to the times during the year where the weather's different as seasons here, not series.
Oh, be quiet.
Oh, goodness.
But the other thing that spoils it, where they're sort of getting their mobile phones all synced up for some odd reason.
Oh, yeah.
Captain Jack would look a lot better in his long coat in this particular scene.
Yeah. He looks a bit I don't know why they didn't have him dressed, you know, as usual.
That's why.
Oh,
sorry.
Oh boy.
You all right?
I am now.
The microphone okay?
Well, I sneezed away from the microphone, so I hope it is.
Are my ears okay?
Sorry.
Is your septum still in place?
My what?
Your septum? Yeah,
my septum. Just about, yeah. Because...
Your deviant septum.
My what?
No, you've heard of deviated septums, haven't you?
No, I haven't. Shall we move to medical from now matters for next week's medical podcast? Anyway, right. Isabella's favourite funny scene from this episode when Margaret kept on running off and using her transmattening.
My kids like that scene the best, too.
Yeah. So,
I could do this all day.
I did like the way that Eccleston looked during that bit. The kind of like smug smarminess on his face. As he was just sitting there going, whatever, love. You're not going.
He's got his Stan Laurel face on.
Yeah, when he does his smile, it does look Stan Laurel, doesn't it? And then, of course, they go back to her office. What's that noise?
It's another fine mess you've got me in.
And Captain Jack works out. Be quiet. Captain Jack works out that the extrapolator is part of the actual sort of model map of Cardiff, where Cardiff Castle should or would have been or would be after it gets knocked down for this particular...
It's a surfboard!
It's a surfboard, yeah.
Yeah. A
Is it the doctor that works it out or Captain Jack? I can't remember now. Because the doctor rips it off the thing. And Captain Jack gets very excited by this particular gadget.
If it was slightly more pink and had Mattel written on the bottom, it kind of would have the hoverboard from Back to the Future.
Yeah.
You know, it's also the scarf that Rose is wearing is slightly Fourth Doctor-esque.
Oh, I did like Rose's bunches in this episode.
No, I'm talking about the scarf, not her bunches.
Bunches.
I don't know what you think I'm talking about, but I'm talking about her hair.
No, her scarf. It's quite Fourth Doctor-esque. Rose's scarf.
I think her bunches look good in that Union Jack t-shirt last week.
For God's sake. Oh, yeah.
It's not long enough for her to do an Isadora Duncan, sorry.
Anyway, Blythe Droog is up on the banner, and the Doctor sort of starts staring at it, and we get that sort of scene where he's very thoughtful, and he, you know, and then suddenly changes from but that name's been following us around, and then it's probably just a coincidence.
I know. Yeah,
the brilliance of the Doctor again, fielding a curveball. And then carrying on like nothing had happened. When really, he knew something was afoot.
But do you think he was supposed to be fending it off because they had this particular problem to deal with now and that was something they had to deal with later, or he just didn't want Rose to worry about it too much?
I think there's more about it. Well, I mean, because as it turned out, well, hold on, let's think about this, because obviously, as we know, Rose scattered the words Bad Wolf through the entirety of time and space as a warning to herself.
Yes.
Now, would the Doctor know that? Because the Doctor knows everything because he can see all space and time, so therefore he knew.
You sound a bit bored by this particular scenario.
I'm just thinking and talking at the same time.
Oh, go on then, sorry.
So I'm trying to work through my process of whether the Doctor would have known what the Bad Wolf sign / warning was at that point, which he must have done if he can see all of time and space and he didn't know what was going to happen anyway.
Okay.
So he must have known.
He see all time and space.
He did. You see,
Robert, that's unlike you. He said that he can see all time and space.
Many times.
In episode one.
Yeah.
I think what he meant is it's possible for him to go and see all of time and space.
He said he could see. He feels it, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He feels the earth turning.
That means every single plot they come up with for Doctor Who should just be thrown out the window because you can see the end coming.
We're only going by what he says, Reece.
I think we should take that
if we go by what he says, then in that case, if he can see all of time and space, he knows that you could do this to defeat the monster, thus he doesn't have to figure it out.
A lot of the time that's actually the case, isn't it? Especially with the Seventh Doctor who manipulates things.
Yeah.
Stephen Moffat.
But also Stephen Moffat gets by it with the time can be rewritten lines. But
mantra.
But you see what I mean, though? I mean, it's kind of like a bit...
Yeah, yeah, I agree, yeah.
You know, but obviously, if we take it to the nth degree of that, then, yeah, the Doctor knows exactly what's going to happen and how we could sort everything out. But obviously, don't ever think about anything too much in a science fiction show, especially Doctor Who, or you'll find out it unravels quite easily.
Indeed. Of course.
So anyway, the Doctor doesn't know what's going on. Let's just leave it
at that. We'll leave it at that, because we'll have to move on with this particular story, because, of course, they have caught Margaret, because she couldn't get away, and she gets taken into the TARDIS, and then she immediately starts her guilt-tripping, because obviously she says that it's death sentence on Ratsakoriko Falibatorius to the whole of the Savine family.
Into the soup.
And none of them seem to be particularly...
My problem. Don't mind. Nothing to do with me.
Well, there's that, and also I was trying to use the example of how, you know, murderers like Gaddafi. You know, nobody seems to feel particularly sorry for Gaddafi, who met a quite a grisly end after what he did to people in his own country. Yeah. So there is So I suspect it's the same sort of thing for her. Although they do play the sad music for Margaret. And I personally don't feel particularly sorry for her. And to take it further forward to the Family of Blood episode, when the Doctor... Aww. They don't die, but he does treat them rather ruthlessly in the way he actually, you know,
Sentences them to the mirrors or them. So
it's a similar sort of scenario to this. But nevertheless, she keeps on plugging away at the
much
heartstrings.
Better done there.
Yeah, she keeps playing, plugging away at the heartstrings and failing in every instance. Of course, then we have some padding, which is probably unnecessary. That, you know, that the Mickey and Mickey and Rose go off together and have a bit of a
what have I missed?
Come on, Kirby, what have I missed?
Well, during the time when they're walking around Cardiff, there's one scene where, first of all, you can see the actual restaurant where the Doctor and Margaret are dining.
You can also see the strings on Mickey.
Right through there is where the Ianto Jones Memorial Wall is. You can see the blank wall, which is now the Ianto Jones Memorial Wall.
Okay.
I'll never be able to film there again.
That's right.
You know about that.
No.
I do.
I don't.
You don't?
No.
Well, people have put up things to make them bring back Ianto, or just to remember Ianto, pictures of him, stories they've written, and pictures of little Ianto toys that from all around the world that they say, we want him back. He's been around the world, so bring him back to the show.
And it went up shortly after Children of Earth was broadcast, and the city has allowed it to stay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They moved it out of the way. It was more public, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can see exactly where it is.
In that
one scene after they walked down. Huh? Yeah,
I have to watch it again because I missed that.
Well, there's no wall there in the story because it's way before Children of Earth.
No, that's fair enough. But I've remembered I missed something out from earlier on because I don't know how, but I occasionally do this. But there's a bit that she says, "What did I do to you?" And he says, "You tried to kill me and destroy this whole planet." And then she says, "Apart from that,
yeah,
I didn't actually."
Yeah, yeah, she has a lot of nice little.
There were three people talking over each other at the same time. That worked really well. Go on then, Kirby. I think you actually got the first syllable in the first. Hurry up.
She has a lot of lines like that in the banter with the Doctor. It's really good.
Mm. Yes. Mm. What's that? That's no, you don't sound too convinced.
You don't like it?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't. I don't think much of the episode at all.
And of course, there's another line she says in the office when she says, "I sound like a Welshman. God help me, I've gone native."
Yes.
She's really good.
You didn't sound very bloody Welsh to me.
Exactly.
No,
neither did that.
But anyway, they go and have their meal, and which obviously that then lines up in another, not so much comedy lines, but comedy sort of things going on. I can imagine David Tennant, although I say not saying that Eccleston wasn't brilliant in this, but this is the sort of scene that Tennant would have been good at as well, you know, catching the dart out of the finger. And it's a shame we've never seen these elements since with the Slovene.
Yeah.
You know, the firing of the dart. And
Slovene crack.
Yeah, well, that's one thing, but you would have thought. I like the bit where she breathes, they lean into each other and she's just about to breathe on him and he squirts in her mouth.
Yeah.
Yes, actually, that was very good. Good scene.
But of course, like I said to Alicia, that reminded me a little bit of the River Song and Doctor bit when just after she's regenerated and she's trying to kill him, and she gets various things. Eventually, she does kill him by kissing him.
So again, not like reusing ideas.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Reusing ideas.
They swap bananas there as well. I mean, the gun for a banana there as well. I can't remember. Let's go get that.
There was a swapping of a gun for banana, as far as I can remember.
Because I'm just thinking of of the empty child that happened as well, with the Doctor dances, whichever episode.
Possibly.
So, are you talking about this episode or Let's Kill Hitler?
I'm just thinking of Let's Kill Hitler. Because
there was one in the fruit bowl which the gun was in. And the Doctor turned it around, River reached back and picked up a banana instead of the gun.
Another reuse of an idea, isn't it?
Yes, I just seem to be picking up on this thing. Meanwhile,
I wonder if Stephen Moffat realises that we're onto him.
Meanwhile, there's lots of explosions and the ground vibrations and things falling down, the lights flashing and people running around screaming because the rift has opened.
Did you notice something, though? Because they show a long shot and you see the city and cars are just driving
around
like
normally.
Nothing's happened. And I thought that sort of spoiled the effect for me.
Oh, well, never mind. But the bit where Rose realises something's going on, she runs off, and Mickey, not worried about all the earthquakes, etc., is going, "It's always him! It's always the Doctor!"
I think I'd have been a bit more concerned about the shaking voice.
Yeah, I would think, I'm going with Rose, because it might be a bit safer in the TARDIS.
I'm sure he would.
Of course, they all get back in eventually, and this is where, obviously, it's Margaret who's programmed the extrapolator, is it, the little surfboard thing, to sort of backfire him to a certain degree. And then what she does, she shakes off her arm.
Yeah.
Now, I wasn't under the impression that these body suits were more than just a one-piece thing.
Don't question anything in Doctor Who.
But nevertheless, she shakes off her arm. But the thing is, her actual arm that she's got still left just looks like something she's got her arm in.
Yeah, a glove.
And also, the Slovenes, it's out of proportion to the Slovene monsters we've seen. It might be B being picky, but it just didn't look quite right.
It's not you being picky.
Isn't it?
It did look crap. It made the Slovene look exactly what they are, which is a monster for kids. And it just, I mean, the whole, hate the Slovene. I mean, the face on them is just ridiculous. whole squeezing a 9-foot body into a 5-foot woman is just absurd. The farting is just childish.
At least for this episode, there wasn't hardly any farting. I think there was a bit at the beginning, wasn't there? And that was it.
Yeah. There was a couple of grumbles of the tummy, and that was it.
Yeah, which is good. But they decide, obviously, with Sarah Jane and to go back to the farting element. But with this episode, I mean, this is, like we did discuss earlier on, didn't we, that whether this was a better episode than the previous Savine story, and I think it is, to be honest with you.
I undoubtedly better, but still, they're just a ridiculous element to Doctor Who, which I'm glad they've done.
Absolutely. Hopefully, they never will bring it back. But of course, at this point, the TARDIS, which is like shaking itself to destruction, decides to open up the panel, and some light shines out of it.
The heart of the TARDIS.
Now, this is clearly the same thing that Rose stares into in the next episode, which we'll come to next week. But he doesn't call it the time vortex. He calls it the heart of the TARDIS in this.
And also, you remember at the beginning, he also refers to... did he refer to Chameleon Circuit or something else?
Yeah, he did. That's at the beginning when he explains why the TARDIS is a police box for the new generation of Doctor Who fans.
Yeah.
I'll be back in 2 minutes. Hold on.
Oh, bye.
I'll be timing you.
Don't move on until I've given my synopsis of the episode.
Back to the looking into the heart of the TARDIS thing. Where the light's shining on, her eyes look quite amazing in that particular
thing.
And, of course, you've got that music going on, which sounds, I'm not quite sure whether it's orchestral or whether it's synthesised orchestral or what. Reese!
Who would be synthesised?
It's a shame, isn't it?
First season or series, Murray had to use a synthesiser because they didn't have enough money for an orchestra, which they got
for the
next one.
Wouldn't it be nice if in some sort of 10th anniversary of the New Who, they might go back and rescore these with orchestral music?
I don't think it sounded that bad, though.
Actually, I do like that. There's lots of reused music in this particular story, I noticed.
There is.
But
yeah,
it's really good. The music in this, yep, not too loud. It's just...
Oh, hold on, though. Oh, God, I had a problem. Now?
You have a problem?
Just like last week.
Yeah, ointment for it.
There seems to be so much noise going on that sometimes you can hardly hear the dialogue. I put the subtitles on again.
No, I never had that problem. You said this last week, didn't you,
something. I had the same problem.
Maybe you've got sound balance on your telly or your system is a bit odd.
No, I just find it hard to... I had the same problem with this last series as well.
I don't have a problem with this one. I know there are future episodes where it is too loud and it does drown out a lot of the dialogue, but I wouldn't say it is with these episodes. God knows what trouble you're going to have, you know, when you come to those episodes, I must admit. Meanwhile, Margaret has sort of flopped into a lump of, you know what, and this strange, hairy, eggy thing is removed from her.
Forced it.
Regressed to an egg.
Yeah, I quite like the idea of it, but I didn't quite like the prop they used as the egg.
No.
Looked a bit rubbery, didn't it?
Didn't look very good at all.
A bit rubbish, really.
And, of course, there's the scene where just after that, when Mickey's sort of watching because Rose realises, oh, Mickey, and runs out the TARDIS to try and find him. There's all these police cars and ambulances going by, and that did look very Torchwood.
Yes, it did.
I was expecting that PC Andy or whatever his
name
is.
Yeah, it would have been good, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I got that feeling. Yeah,
I did actually think of him at that particular time. And it's nice that he actually was in the most recent series of Torchwood as well, obviously.
I like it.
Nevertheless, sulky old blooming Mickey disappears, and they basically fly off, and we get the precursor to next
week. Sulky old Mickey.
Yeah, he goes
Come
off
on,
sulky.
Be fair to the chap.
I'm being
His
fair to him.
Girlfriend's been running around for God knows how long with some other chap.
Yes.
He turns up to see her. She works out quite quickly that he's lying about seeing what's her name from that shop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think he's got every right to be knocked off with her.
No, it's Billy Piper.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Even more
no.
reason to be knocked off then.
Anyway, Ben, you said you wanted to talk about this episode. We've come to the end of it now.
Well, you briefly touched on it then. My favourite bit of the whole episode.
Yes.
And I don't know if you can... If you take yourselves back.
Yeah.
Find yourself a little place.
Yeah.
Where you were on a Saturday evening, when you were sat there, and you were watching Boomtown... And the episode, they've just flown off again. Let's find out exactly when it was. Hold on, one sec.
So I'll be playing gallery music at this point.
Come on, crap, computer. The 4th of June, 2005.
Yes.
Probably about 6:45 p.m.
Right, okay,
the episode had just come to a close. And then came the best trailer for the next episode will ever see. How excited were you when you saw that bit and you thought, oh my God, this is going to be fantastic? Oh, it's fantastic. Brilliant.
I suppose it was a bit at the end when they saw the massive amount of Daleks that were coming up in it.
Yeah,
they saw the whole horses.
Yeah.
I think spoil it.
So the original trailer did have the Daleks in it?
Can't remember. Don't care. Because I think it did, actually.
I think
it did.
That was rather spoilerish.
No, I think it did have the Daleks in it.
It did. And that was, you'd already seen the Daleks.
Yeah, that was to reel the viewers in. Hang on, the Daleks are going to be in this episode. We'll better watch this.
Yep. They did from the beginning.
Yeah.
When they first did the Daleks.
And the episode before Dalek, you saw the Dalek at the end of the trailer.
No, but I'm saying that's what they've done throughout the years with Daleks.
Really, they used to do it in Classic Who, didn't they, by calling the next week's episode Power of the Daleks. The Daleks are in it next
Death
week.
Death of the Dalek.
Yeah, and then the Dalek bursts into the wall, like that's a cliffhanger.
So, but on the whole, I mean, another really, really good episode. I think since last week, I've watched this four times. I just absolutely love it. This is
really?
So fantastic. Yeah.
I've
watched it four times.
Blimey.
Once for fun, once again for fun, once with Alicia, and then the fourth time to write some notes on I just wanted to write some of the funny lines that were in it. I did actually have missed a couple. Might as well read them out whilst we're here, otherwise I wouldn't have done it for no fun at all. And she said, ended up on a skip of the Isle of Dogs, and it is a bit funny. I quite like that scene. And, of course, her saying, I've had you bleating all night, poor baby. to the doctor. But it was actually the other way around. It was her doing all the bleating, which I thought was quite amusing. Anybody else with anything to say about
Boomtown? There are at least two, if not three, selves of Jack in Cardiff during this episode. The youngest is depicted working with the doctor. Unbeknownst to him, his older self is running the Torchwood 3 hub from underneath the roof in the Roald Dahl class, but may or may not actually be present in the city. Both are unaware that there's still an older future self frozen in the corpse of the hub. So there was three Captain Jacks there in this episode.
Superb.
Great.
Blimey, excellent, Ben. So you don't get this on any other podcast.
Get money for playing three.
Thank you, Wikipedia, once again.
So we can trust that knowledge then?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Oh, yeah, I wrote it on Wikipedia.
Go on, Reese. I knew you were just about to say something because I heard this little Australian voice sort of droning through the sort of other voices.
speaking of John Barrowman, it was his, Barrowman! Graham Harper's, and Alex Kingston's birthday yesterday.
Yes, it was. Yes. Sorry, I forgot to say happy birthday to him because I'm not 100% sure the team Barrowman is, in fact, him on Twitter. But I presume it probably is. Carry on.
I love this episode.
Good. Thank you,
Kirby. It's fun. You need a silly episode every once in a while.
Yeah, because obviously they tend to do this, a slightly light-hearted episode to prelude the big end of series.
Like with closing time and...
Finale. Yes. Yeah. It's a tradition in Doctor Who.
Roger.
Yeah.
According to Russell T. Davis, he originally intended this episode to be called Dining with Monsters.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Well, there was only one, though. So
he joked that a much better name for the episode would be What Should We Do with Margaret? However, I think a much better episode for the title for the episode would be How Do You Solve a Problem Like Margaret?
Oh, yeah.
Good
How
one.
How do you solve a problem like Margaret?
Anyway, yes, I've got some feedback. Oh, yeah, sorry.
I'm going to have to get off because of the time change and everything.
Right.
So I did want to point out if we've done news yet.
No, haven't done any news yet, no.
The rumor that Sophia Miles, Girl in the Fireplace, is in Spain where they're currently filming Doctor Who.
Excellent, yes.
So that's very interesting.
It is very interesting. Thank you for that, Kirby.
Huh?
Thank you for that. I didn't know that one, so that's brand new news to me. Will you stop flapping your ears?
Sorry. It's all over the... Thank you. So anyway... you're going to have me for shorter times for the next... couple of weeks until you guys catch up with
couple of weeks
the time.
And then have me for shorter times.
Yes, indeedy.
My time hasn't changed at all, though.
Okay, Robert. I'm sure it will do at some point.
Anyway,
it doesn't, okay.
Both episodes of the conclusion of the series next week?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay.
So I'll have to talk really fast.
You will, yes, indeed.
45. I'll talk to you guys next week.
Thank you, Kirby. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Right, we have some feedback. This is from a chap called Richard Culp, and he says, since the comments on the last two-part story you cover pretty much fell in line with my own thoughts, I will take a cue from another listener and pose a question to you. If you had the opportunity to select a doctor and a companion for a story, what team would you create? Ground rules. One, you can only select one doctor, as this is not a multi-doctor story. Two, the companions can be one, two, or three in number. Based on my memory of what I have seen from...
That means Romana too.
Maybe, I don't know. Based on my memory of what I have seen from the start and what I recall from the stories I have yet to see, my choice would be Patrick Troughton with Sarah Jane and Stephen Taylor. I wonder what adversary they would be put up against, but that is a question for another day. Keep up the great work. Thank you, Richard. Mm. Right then, who should we start with? Our first one I looked at was a chat with a fez on. That's Reese Barton.
I've got a fez on? Oh, yeah, in my picture.
Yes.
Got a
pheasant? I think fez on.
What does that mean? Is that some Australian term for something that we don't need to know about?
Ben, he's wearing
a fez.
Oh, he hasn't got a fez on, semi.
Semi-fez.
Well, we have been talking about Rose.
Oh, God.
That's understandable.
What was I saying about innuendo earlier on?
Great bunches.
I don't know.
I didn't hear anything about innuendo.
The 20 megabyte innuendo podcast. No, the innuendo comment was... when Mickey calls him, what are you, Captain Morph? Oh, yes, innuendo. Captain Jack, yes. Yeah. Anyway, yes, so, yeah, go on then.
There's on, boy.
Well, hey, I think I would go with the 11th Doctor with the Brigadier and Jamie.
Excellent, yeah. And why?
Because I think that would be fantastic.
Basically, okay. The next on my little chart, because only because that's the way it's, the order is appearing on my screen, is Mr. Hobbit Rains.
I can't know, call him that because he'll be sued by the makers of The Lord of the Rings, just like the pub in Southampton.
He'll replace Seriously, Martin yeah. Freeman.
There's a pub in Southampton. Pub in Southampton called The Hobbit, which they're having to change the name of because of the makers of the film don't like the fact they're calling it The Hobbit. Seriously.
Hobart in Tasmania.
Hang on, how are we getting from blimmin' a question that Richard Culp has posted to talking about hobbits and
speaking
beer
and
pubs in Southampton?
As you're talking about Hobart in Tasmania, would the phrase such a wonderful town mean anything to you?
No. Oh, sorry. It was an
advertising song that they made up for Hobart, Tasmania. Such a what? Chris Tarrant used to play on his breakfast show.
Thank you for that, Ben. Right. Anyway, so have you come up with an answer during that time, Robert? Or do you want to think on it for a bit longer?
Well, do you know the shape of Tasmania?
Oh,
yeah. Uh-oh. Roughly.
Well, usually,
no, don't go there. Don't go there.
No, well, you say to someone who you really like, show us your map of Tasmania. But,
oh dear.
I thought Ben might like that one.
Yeah, know him well.
But yeah, I'd have to say, yeah, I don't mind a bit of Patrick Troughton with
which bit?
Say, I can him with Jamie is really good, but also. I don't know. It's a toss-up between Sarah or Joe Grant.
How you state these things.
And which side would you come down on?
Particular innuendo mode at the moment.
If it's a toss-up between those two, which side would you come down?
Aye, aye, aye.
Or maybe even whose side?
Right. Who's next? Ben, go on then. Your favourite combination or combination you would choose.
I'm still too busy laughing at my joke. I would choose David Tennant because I love him. With, it would have to be Rose because of the lovely bunches. And Perry, just in case you showed us a map of Tasmania.
Okay.
you're regretting that now, aren't you, Robert?
And I think I'd like to see, just for comedy reasons, I'd like to see the first Doctor with Donna and Rose as a companion.
Oh, yes, Donna as well, yeah. Yes. I'd have to throw Donna into the mix.
No, too late.
Oh, sorry, okay. fair enough. But yeah, what a goal.
What do you mean, what a goal?
Who's playing Sporting Gijon against...
For God's sake. Right. Robert, go on, Robert.
Does Sunderland ever win?
Apparently so. They're certainly not bottom of the league, so I would imagine they occasionally win the odd game now and again.
Sunderland aren't bottom of the league.
You're outnumbered, Reese. Massively outnumbered.
Because whenever I hear there's a game that they play, they never seem to win. So.
Well, Sunderland, they had a manager called Steve Bruce, who was a good manager, but unfortunately couldn't make the players work very well. Then they brought in Martin O'Neill, and since Martin O'Neill's come in, they've won 6 out of 10 or something like that. So they're doing a lot better now.
Oh. Yeah, I want to see how my team does this season.
Who's your team?
Fremantle Dockers.
Hey.
Fremantle Dockers.
Come on, you Dockers. Yeah,
I have to agree with you there.
By the way, Sunderland are 8th in the league at the moment, so they're not doing that badly at all, are they, really? And like Southampton, who are top of their league.
And Man United, who are top of theirs, yes, who's indeed. In the league above Southampton.
Yes, come on, you... Saints. Right then. So, funny enough, I don't know how we got moved on to whatever we were talking about. I was actually on feedback. And we're still on feedback. I don't know which particular order I'm going to play this in, but we have audio feedback. This is from Jim the Fish. I hope it works. I haven't actually heard this yet because it all came in this morning.
Calling the 20 Megabyte Podcast. You have a message. Connecting you now.
Greetings.
out.
This is the Cyberlord of the 9th Cyber Legion speaking. While I monitor this quadrant of space, I like to listen to the 20 Megabyte podcast. I enjoy hearing Adam, Alicia, Ben, and the rest of the team. And I was wondering, Father and Federation, this confounded chronological counting machine belongs to the Cyber Empress. If anything happened to it, she would delete me, so I will have to wait for it to finish. It should not take long now. Max Fender, where was I? Oh yes, I was wondering, which enemies from classic Doctor Who would you like to see return to the series? My personal favorites are the Yetis. I would really like to see those furry creatures back. Excuse me a moment. A Roman centurion has suddenly appeared in my command center, and now my space fleet is being destroyed. I'll have to go now. Until the next time, Cyberlord of the 9th Cyber Legion signing out.
Your message has ended. Have a nice day.
All it needed was a dog barking in the background as well.
Yeah. Sorry, Jim the Fish, was he taking the mickey out of something there? I didn't quite get that. Anyway, right, yes. So, yes, I think I'll go
Give
first.
Give it another 9 minutes, Adam.
Thank
another
you. I think I'll go first on this one. I'd like to see back, just as John Pertwee always said he'd like to see them back in Doctor Who, the Draconians. Because they were sort of a baddie that... Sorry, they were an alien that weren't actually baddies. We don't normally see in Doctor Who aliens brought back, you know, as sort of... Apart from the Silurians in, you know, the Good Man Goes to War, stuff like that. But generally, the aliens are the baddies in Doctor Who. And the Draconians were actually very good designed baddie for their time. And I'd love to see them brought back.
Can you refer to which story for those who may not
Frontier
be acquainted?
Frontier in Space.
Yes.
Frontier in Space.
That's a third Doctor story for those who'd like
to
look at
it. You have to say it
like that. But he did actually say, did he say baddie though, didn't he? So maybe that doesn't count. Maybe I'll have to think on for that one as a baddie to bring back into Doctor Who. Okay, then let's move on to Reese.
Oh, sorry, we got feedback from someone. Oh, no. I'm not sure what monster I'd like to see back. We've already had the big ones like the Daleks and the Cybermen. And
big ones? That's
I
a
know
big
you're
one.
Going to go there.
It's easier to think what you wouldn't like to see back, really, than what you would. But, yeah, carry on.
Yeah. No Zabi.
Oh, God, no.
I'd like to see him back.
He said the Yeti. I wouldn't go along with I wouldn't like to see the Yeti back in Doctor Who.
I would like to see the Rani back.
Yeah. The Rani's a good one. Yeah.
The way she looks now, though.
Regenerated.
She's
or maybe
a
they could. But well, the thing is, though, they could bring back Kate O'Mara because she's quite old and sort of haggard now, isn't she? Like, they could bring her back to do an episode and then regenerate. So as all the classic fans can recognise her as the new, whoever would be the new Rani. Oh, God, Magic's off now.
I don't think Magic likes that idea.
No. Yeah, anybody else?
None of them.
None of them? Well, you just want new aliens all the time.
Bring the topic then about new monsters.
New monsters?
That's the only thing I agree with Stephen Moffat about is the fact that, you know, I think because it's new Who, I think most of the old aliens / baddies / monsters have had their time and they can be. The only ones that need to be brought back were the Daleks and the Cybermen.
But they did try and bring back the Nymon, didn't they, in the God the Complex. The Nymonish type thing.
I'd have to say, I'd love to see the robots from Robots of Death.
Oh yeah, that's a good one, Robert. Good one, yes.
But also the Zygons.
Yeah, another one I would have chosen if I'd had time to think about it. Yeah, I'm going to go along with those ones. I like that one. Well done, Robert.
But you know, when Jim the Fish was talking about Yeti, they don't have to look quite like the Yeti because they looked, the old Yeti looked like cuddly teddy bears, didn't they?
Yeah, but I could never really find anything menacing about them. They're just sort of.
Do you remember when they're doing that Dark Dimension project that was supposed to come out in '93, and they were, I think they were doing redesigned Yeti along with redesigned Cybermen or something, but something a bit more animal-like rather than cuddly teddy bear, I guess.
I think the thing is, in Classic Who, the amount of baddies, aliens, who appeared more than a couple of times, is very, you know, it's a very small number. And so I think they've got it right, because, you know, the ones that appeared regularly, if you like, were the Daleks, many stories, the Cybermen, right from the back of the beginning of the show, back in the sixth, you know.
Especially in Troughton's, from Troughton's.
Yeah, exactly. These were the, if you like, recurring baddies. And they're the ones that they've already brought back. And so I think trying to bring back anything that appeared once or twice or maybe worked well in a story once won't necessarily work again, and therefore isn't a good idea to bring it back. So I think they've got it just right in what they've done so far by bringing back the ones that people know, that people who aren't big Whovians will know about, people who haven't watched every episode from the Patrick Troughton and William Hartnell era. Because if you haven't watched it already, it won't mean anything to you, whereas
you've been
of the Daleks and the Cybermen anyway. So I think that's cool, you can disagree, but you're wrong.
Sounded like Stephen Moffat then.
No, but taking something like the Zygons, I mean, they've got a good idea because, you know, they kidnap some... They're a bit like the androids in the Android Invasion in that they need the human to copy and, you know, the Zygons need to keep somebody... It's a good idea in the way they look and people are hanging out for... I've spoken to a lot of people online who say they'd love to see the Zygons back.
Yeah, but yeah, I bet they're all fans who have seen the first time round.
And
that's why they'd be special to people if they brought them back. Whereas anyone who hasn't seen them the first time.
How do you explain the Slitheen then? Yeah, they've had so many appearances.
Yeah, but we didn't really want them to have so many appearances. That's the thing, though, isn't it?
They had two. They had two in the first. They haven't been in it since the first series, have they?
They haven't been in Doctor Who since the first series.
No, but we're not talking about spin-offs. We're talking about Doctor Who.
Reese is saying they're in the end of time.
You know, it's a case that I don't think that they won't bring anything from Classic Who back, because not enough people would know what it is, and so therefore it would have no relevance to bringing them back. So you might as well put something new.
About the Silurians, not many people would remember them, though.
And also there was a reference to the Macro, which wasn't, you know, people who didn't matter, because you didn't have to be familiar with the classic series. It would have been, to the new Who fans, it would have been a new monster that had been, vintage.
It's a throwaway comment, which some people would have, you know, big fans would have registered with, but new fans wouldn't have bothered about not knowing who they were.
Well, that's how why I think that the monster I'd like to see back had such a lot of potential we never saw again was the one in The Five Doctors, you know, the one that was lightning Rest fast, yeah, the one that was fired the spears. I thought that had a lot of potential, and we only saw it in that one scene. And they
only
could
for
bring
killing
that back.
People,
pardon?
Only for killing people.
I know, but what? What a assailant that was.
Yeah.
But anyway, I've got some more.
Yay! Yes, it's Clark.
Anyway, I've got some more audio feedback, and hopefully by the time
Was he just picking on the fact that you tend to talk through the clock?
Well, I might as well do it. Is he saying that I shouldn't talk through the clock?
I don't know, maybe.
Yeah. I don't know.
He was.
Okay, well, I'll consider not talking through the clock. The trouble is that if I'm getting old, and I tend to lose my train of thought if I stop talking about something, even when a clock's chiming in the background. Anyway, I got this message from Mary Lang. It said, "Hi, Adam. The feedback I'm sending was supposed to have music playing behind a particular section, but that didn't work out very well. So all of you imagine Song of Freedom playing while I talk about the episode and I would most like to be in. There is a long pause and this song was supposed to play. Sorry, I guess I have more work to do to figure out how to get music tracks to play that I thought I had recorded. Right. It's way too late for me. Yeah, Song of Freedom. It's way too late for me to work on this any longer. Sorry, Mary Lang, and this is what...
What, Song of Freedom?
I don't know.
Hello, everybody, at the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello, Mary.
Adam, Alicia, Ben, Robert, Kirby, and Reese. I hope you're all doing well. Adam mentioned last time that he prefers if the feedback is audio,
and I tend
to agree with him, because it doesn't seem to matter who reads my letters. Somehow we managed to muck it up.
That's true.
What?
Okay, first of all, I'd like to respond to the question that was put forth on the last podcast about if you could be in any episode of Doctor Who, which one would it be? Well, I had my answer immediately. Of course, I would love to be in the David Tennant episode. I think it was called Journey's End that followed Stolen Earth.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Because I would love to be on the TARDIS with all of his companions and everybody that I really love and pull Earth back to orbit. Oh, my. That would be a dream come true.
That's what you said, Reese, wasn't it? Wasn't that what you said, Reese, when we discussed it last week? Something on those lines. Pretty sure you chose that episode.
What we said.
Yeah. We're only filling in where while she's fading into where her music would be, of course. Yeah. And Magic's done a really smelly, really smelly fart.
Bing, bong, bing, bong, bing.
Just saying.
Okay, sigh. On to more mundane things. The episode that you all picked out this week, which was Boomtown, didn't interest me very much, so I didn't watch it. However, I did watch an old Pertwee one called Spearhead from Space, because I heard on another podcast that all the similarities to the first one of the Eccleston series rose with the plastine. I forget what it's called, the plastine sense, whatever, with the dummies coming alive. That was really good. My problem with Boomtown is the same as it was with the other Slitheen ones. It is Slitheens, which I don't have a lot of enjoyment of. And if the Slitheens were intended for children, I'm going to ask a child question. The first thing that occurred to me when I saw the Slitheen explode in Jackie's kitchen when they threw vinegar-based stuff at him was, well, why are they going to all this trouble? Why don't they just throw vinegar at all the Slitheen and that'll get rid of the problem?
Yeah.
But that didn't happen.
Nope.
And speaking of vinegar, this message is for Ben. I know you hate cats pooing on your garden and you wanted to know how to get rid of them. Vinegar is the answer, just like the Slitheen. If you squirt vinegar water mixture around the edges of your garden, it's supposed to keep all kinds of animals off, including cats. Just look up uses for vinegar in your browser, and you will see that vinegar is very popular for a lot of different things. Okay, that's it for me, and I will try to watch the next episode and participate in a more helpful manner.
Oh, that's helpful
this
enough.
This is Mary Lang saying goodbye for now. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you, Mary. Let me get this straight. So you throw vinegar over a cat. You throw vinegar over a cat and it explodes. Is that what she was trying to say?
I think that's what she was thinking.
Yeah.
The good thing about trying that vinegar thing is it's a lot cheaper than buying a gun.
And the bullets.
And wouldn't you need an awful lot of vinegar, though, to go around the whole of your garden?
It's not that big a garden. I've had to downsize from the mansion.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's
18 months unemployment.
That's a relief then, isn't it?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. The government wouldn't want to pay the rent on my 16-bedroom mansion, 400-acre garden. They wouldn't pay for the gardener anymore, so I had to get rid.
It's a that will be bleeped out.
Right. Oh, really?
Well, there is a message, an audio message you may be surprised to hear, from Ian Kirk.
Ian Kirk? Hello, Captain.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast.
Hello, Ian.
Thanks, Adam, for the Matt Smith Daybreak interview. Boomtown by Russell T. Davies. This is a fairly simple story. The Doctor finds a Slitheen and prevents her destroying the world. There is a link back to Cardiff's strange powers in The Unquiet Dead. There are some links forward. Jack learns of the Cardiff Rift and that the TARDIS sometimes uses it. Rose learns that the TARDIS can have strange powers in an emergency. Blom and the Doctor never get their meal because of the earthquake. We rarely see the various Doctors eating, while the two of them were bakers.
Ha-ha!
I think by the time we finish reviewing the Tenet episodes, it will be September, and Doctor Who might return. Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian, again. Once again, fantastic. Ian Kirk.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ian Kirk.
Yes. Like the baker gag, very good.
Did you write that one for him?
Yeah.
No. Oh.
Isn't it lovely to have all this feedback?
It is. Now, listen, right? One of our first feedback contributors many episodes ago, probably
maybe 65,
episode 3 or something like that, was a chap called Glade Packer. And he has felt the need to add to our Facebook.
Oh, right.
Did he work in an air freshener factory?
I don't know. Oh, very good. Don't know if you'll get that particular gag.
Life's so good.
But no, he went on our Podbean page, our Podbean website, the 20 megabyte podcast. Doctor Who podcast.podbean.com. That's the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.podbean.com, where a lot of people actually listen to the show.
Who1.co.uk. Who1.co.uk.
Yeah, it does actually say that on the website. Anyway, he says for episode 100.
Say that really fast.
Do you mind?
Did he say that?
For God's sake.
Actually,
pardon?
I don't mind, I babysit.
Right, anyway, yeah, he says, this is to do with episode 100. Really? No comments on your 100th episode post? Congratulations on reaching triple digits, keeping up the amazing work. Well, Glade, I think you might have actually not listened to episode 100, because you would have heard there were several comments. We had a very, very long comment that lasted about an hour from a chap called Fraser Hines. On the show, but thanks anyone. Great.
Anything on Podbean about it though?
Yeah, not a lot of people do post on our Podbean site.
I did. Did you see?
You did.
What,
recently?
I posted something there once.
Yeah, you did.
No, a while ago now.
And where used to Draculasaurus and people like that used to post on there as well. And Radio Rassilon used to post on there. But most people post directly to us via our email address, which is 20mb. Would you stop singing over my email address? What's the matter with you lot today? Right, that's it. Magic! Kill!
Sick.
Kill!
Your best.
Don't sit there looking at me gormlessly. Kill! Stop yawning. No, he's not interested.
He's waiting for his lunch.
Yes, it's 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. Oh, now he's nuzzling me. Yes, what do you want? No, sorry, you're flapping your ears.
Stop flapping your ears.
Sorry.
Anyway. Sorry. I got past the email address, didn't I? You've completely thrown me.
Did you hear that, Adam?
No, I didn't, no.
You're going to have to bleep that.
No, because then he won't hear it. It'll stay in and it'll be funnier.
Yes, anyway. Yes?
Something.
You're going to say something?
Last week.
Why have you gone all quiet?
Me?
Yeah, you.
Am I quiet?
Yeah. Really?
How can you hear me?
Oh, now you come back again there. All right, Robert.
Hello. last week, you mentioned about when we posted pictures of ourselves doing the podcast.
Yes.
And you also asked listeners to post of them listening to it.
Yeah, no, we got Dr. Phil.
Listeners.
Dr. Phil. No. So thank you, Dr. Phil, for showing it. I hope you didn't crash your car.
That's what I was thinking. Was he doing taking pictures of himself with his mobile phone while driving?
Isn't that a bit dangerous listening to the podcast while driving, though?
Listeners, do not try this in your car or at home, I should say. Taking pictures of yourself while driving. You look quite happy though while doing
podcast.
It. Yeah, but anyway, so that was Glade Packer. Thank you very much for your feel. But we did have actually Dr. Phil Lemmett sent me a message saying that he posted something on our iTunes.
Yes.
Thing. Unfortunately, we don't get to see the ones posted in the United States without going for a horrendous load of effort to actually find them. But nevertheless,
I'll do that now,
all those people who have done postings abroad for the podcast, thank you very much indeed. I have never seen them, never seen what you said.
You're welcome.
But thank you. I think I've seen yours, Reese, actually. Waiting for Ben for the innuendo comment.
No, I was just sitting there thinking, why in God's name did you post 56 pictures of David Tennant on telly the other day? Yeah. Yeah. That really annoyed me. I nearly defriended you for that, because it was like, I know what David Tennant looks like. I've seen him once. I'm now seeing him 46 times in the same pose on the same TV show. Slightly unnecessary, Adam.
Yes, really. I wondered who it would annoy the most. Now, my bets were on you.
You know, I got annoyed too, but at least I didn't keep getting notifications because I was in bed.
Sorry, that's the thing.
I kept on getting an email every 38 seconds saying, new picture posted on 20MB.com. Oh, what's that? It's David Tennant again.
That's why we lost some members of the group that day. Anyway, right.
That's what I think all the time.
Yeah. Have you got the top four? Top 30.
I have.
30.
Top 30. Charts.
30.
Yes.
My bad.
Just having a sip of my Ribena.
Oh.
Full of sugar, you know.
I'm dampening
Ribena berries.
Oh,
do you know the video we've got on YouTube with Ben, with Magic trying to jump up on the settee and failing dismally? He's just doing that at the moment, trying to jump up.
That interests me as much as a David Tennant photograph.
Come on. Now he's trodden on the TV remote, so that might come on in a minute. No, it didn't. Right, sit down. Come on, sit down.
I'm sitting down.
Are you ready, Ben?
I've been ready for about 5 minutes.
Oh, sorry.
Half as long as it will take to do the top 30.
He said.
Number 30, a re-entry for Tim's take on. Number 29 is Dan 1 for Drunken Time Travel. And at 28, a new entry for Future Time Lord Podcast. Number 27 is a non-mover for the Cultum Collective. And at 26, a non-mover for Ian Todd's World of Podcasts. 25 is a re-entry for the Cloisteroo.
I beg your pardon, Robert.
That's the name of the podcast.
Yes, he did, yes.
Yeah, this is for the Ian Todd's World.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of podcasts.
Okay. Yes. Number 25
is a re-entry for the Cloister Room, and at 24, down one for Earth Station 1. 23 is down one for Travelling the Vortex, and at 22, a re-entry for the Untempered Schism. 21 is down one place for the Hookahs from Germany.
Oh, no.
And at
that
20...
is good.
At 20, a re-entry for the Gallicard from France. En français.
Uh-huh.
Who England beat in rugby yesterday. Woo!
Excellent.
I didn't care. At 19, re-entry for the DW.
Hey! Who's talking? Right, that's it. Magic! Attack!
Come and on. At 18, down three, Talking Who. 17, three.
Hang on. Because somebody very naughty, a few thousand miles away, decided to talk over number 19. I didn't get what you just said.
Number 19 is a re-entry for the DWO Torchcast.
Thank you.
18 is down for Talking Who. And at 17...
electricity.
17 is a re-entry. I'm just going to carry on. I'll tell you what, I'm going to come loud to my microphone and just shout loud.
Don't shout too loud, you broke your microphone.
No one can pick up apart from me, and I can just talk all I want, and no one will hear anyone but my voice. If we want to play like that, kids, we can play like that. Yeah. If not...
That's what she said.
Well, actually, I said number 17. Oh, bigger on the inside. At number 16, re-entry for the Time Vault. And at 15, up six for my favourite group of friends, the Dirty Hools. Sorry, Dirty Hooers. Sorry, they're not my friends. They hang around the corner, at the shop around the corner. They're great girls. Anyway, brilliant for when Rachel's out for the evening. We're at 14, and Holly's not coming. 14, up four, a madman with a box. And at 13, if anyone ruins this, I'm going to fly to Australia and punch you in the face. 13... It's up four for the... Ha! Penis Patrol. And number 14. We're done, because we're going up the chart, not down the chart. Number 20. Ah, Bruno Brooks, I got the training off him. At number 12, it's up four for the 2-minute Time Lord. That's what she said. And at number 13, it's down three for Bad Wolf. Go to your bed.
At number 10, down 3 for the Pharos Project, and at number 9, up 3 for Doctor Who, Who's He? Number 8, without a guest, falling 2 places, the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast and other things podcast. And at number 7, a re-entry for the Amiga podcast. What? They've got more people downloading them than us?
Apparently
what?
So.
Number 6, a re-entry for Adventures in Time, Space and Music. They've got more people downloading than us? Yeah. What?
Indeed.
And number 5, up 6, the Doctor Who cast. They've got more people downloading than us? What? And number 4, up 1, for the Impossible podcast, they've got, etc.
They've got more people downloading it than us?
What?
I'd lost interest by number 4, to be honest. Number 3, down 1, the DWO Who cast. They've come at number 2, down 1 for the Doctor Who podcast, which means there's a re-entry at number 1 for Radio Free Scarrow.
I feel a sense of relief that I actually managed to get through that.
Penis
God,
got more listeners than me.
They've got more listeners than us.
Yes.
Did anybody notice in the episode this week we had another of the Doctor Who gags as well?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I wish we hadn't.
Doctor?
Yeah.
Doctor Who? That's original! Never heard that one before.
Yeah, I know, but apparently Stephen Moffat's going to put it in 3 times in each of the next series episodes.
Oh, God. And he's going to have Dorian say it.
A DeLorean? What, out of Back to the Future? The talking car? No, that was Knight Rider. That was Kit.
Think of which...
talking cars, go on then, regale us with this one.
No. Simon Fisher-Becker, who plays Dorian, he was at Gallifrey, and when he was signing off at the closing ceremony, he just said, "Now, I've got a question for you. The oldest question in the universe," and he did that whole scene, and the fans just went wild.
Why? In a bad way, or...
Good way.
Yeah, they start, lynching him and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are some people
who
don't
repeat
it.
What?
There are people who like it.
Not many.
Yeah.
Are there?
There are people who like the Blimmin.
There are people who like Blink. I've never met them though.
Blink's good.
I like Blink. Blink is good.
There are people who like
it. So you're the 3.
I love
Blink.
Blink.
It's
a very good
episode. It's been overhyped over the years though, Reese.
It's what?
No, because people have talked it up over the years because it is a good episode.
I think it's because it was a blimmin' good episode when it actually first aired, and it still is.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Because Reese was a bit younger then, has he sort of had his view tainted by people raving about it over the years?
Didn't enjoy it at the time.
Well, but I'll tell you what, let's save this, obviously, for a few weeks, well, it'll be more than a few weeks, a few months' time when we watch Blink, because obviously I'll be very interested then to, I don't want to sort of miss out on the reasons. And Reese might indeed change his mind when he watches the episode again as we review it. Well, we'll see what happens. Meanwhile,
I felt a bit like that.
Sorry. Meanwhile, I thought
we...
Go on then, Robert.
Just thinking about Boomtown, I sort of changed my view of that by rewatching it. I know Mary said she didn't like it, so she didn't watch it again. I sort of went into it expecting not to. I feel a bit like I did the first time, but I sat down and I quite enjoyed it for, as Kirby was saying, the jokey kind of light episode that it was.
Oh yeah, very much so.
So I enjoy going through the process of reappraising something I haven't seen for a few years.
So do I, definitely, because I haven't seen some of the first series ones since they were on. And it's few years since I bought the DVDs or whatever. So it's really nice to see them.
Absolutely, I'll go along with that.
Yeah.
So let's move on to news. Now, there's some very important news that you just missed last week's show. I nearly tagged it onto the end, but I thought, no, let's save it so a few of us can discuss it. The actor Philip Maddock has died at the age of 77. Now, Philip Maddock, he's just a brilliant actor, full stop. The diversity of the characters he played in Doctor Who, you know, just goes to show what an amazing actor he was. And of course, Solon was the highlight of that.
Solon.
And obviously the wig he wore and the goatee beard that he wore for the character really were iconic. Yeah.
Now, the thing, I've got a bit of an issue with this.
Yes.
Because...
There have been approximately 8.5 billion episodes of Doctor Who.
Yes.
Might be exaggerating slightly.
Yeah.
Well. In each of those, in each of those episodes, there's been probably, we'll say stories, you know, about 30 or 40 actors.
Yes.
So therefore, there probably won't ever be a day that goes by that someone who wasn't in one of those episodes doesn't die.
Indeed, that's right.
I'm going to mention them all.
No, only the ones that stand out, you know, the, in the...
Anything he stands out to me for is being...
It does for me, because Brain of Morbius is one of my favourite stories. It's very iconic. Yeah. It's still probably one of the best Tom Baker stories, if not one of the best Doctor Who stories of all time. And he was a major part of that. In fact, obviously, a lot goes down to the writer, but it's his portrayal, brilliant portrayal of Solon, for me, that is one of the highlights of my time as a Doctor Who fan.
Don't get me wrong, not wishing anybody dead, but to me, it's like saying someone who once appeared in EastEnders drinking a pint of bitters died. It's, you know, there's 100 of them every week.
Not quite the same, but I can understand what you're saying. Well, Lord, you're right, though, because we do mention actors that have appeared in Doctor Who every week. We give them just a sort of passing mention, but this, I thought, would deserve more than the passing mention, because he
to me, it's like...
Legend.
Every time someone dies, we need to mention it. And every time David Tennant appears on telly, you need to post 64.
All right, I apologise for posting all those
Adam
pictures.
Who did
of...
that, though. There were
yes, a lot of the people posted videos, for goodness sake. I just posted a couple of photos.
I ignore all of them.
Guess what?
What?
Seven.
I finished watching The Censorites with the audio commentary. And the second director, Frank Cox, who also did, what was the one... with Ian and Barbara and that in the TARDIS, Edge of Destruction. Yeah, he directed the second episode of that as well.
He got a cough.
He took over for the last couple of episodes. But during the commentary, he was mentioning that his wife was in Gridlock, one of the old ladies.
Oh, really?
All right.
The ship's... Yeah.
Excellent.
Okay.
So I'm sure she'll get a mention when she dies as well.
All right. Anyway, right, today, that's the 12th of March, that's today, the BBC National Orchestra of Wales is performing the music of Murray Gold at two concerts taking place in Cardiff. So I won't get to see those, and lucky sods of you that may well indeed get the chance to. This is quite interesting. Matt Smith and Karen Gillan were spotted on their way to Spain in the morning of the 6th of March, as various members of the public tweeted to their journey at Heathrow. Firstly, Vicky Cole, Paddington Station, who said, "I just saw the girl from the Doctor Who." Well, she obviously watches Doctor Who then. And, and it's just interesting, there's a picture of a chap
Smith
with a beard.
Doesn't look that feminist.
There's a chap with a beard. The little picture I can see looks very much like Wendell from the... Omega podcast. I don't know what the hell he's doing on his way to Spain, but it doesn't have a look like him. So they're on the way to... I thought they were going to Australia to do their abroad episode this year. But obviously, I can understand why they wouldn't want to go all the way to Australia, because it's not...
We're having our eighth heat wave since November. It was 40-point-something degrees today.
Look, Robert...
41 point something yesterday.
Robert, if you're going to discuss weather, you really do need to allow Ben a bit of notice so he can do his weather link.
Here's the weather.
Sorry, Ben.
Actually, the weather was really nice here yesterday. It was about 20 degrees here yesterday.
I had to go to work.
So we're
going to
get
hours.
Some more warm temperatures later in the week.
Yeah.
When it comes to reaching 40 degrees, if you're going to talk about that, you can just shut up because no one cares.
No, but you're right. It was a beautiful day. I need to thought about getting the Barbie stuff out yesterday. It was really lovely, especially in the garden. It was just so warm. And the dogs wouldn't come in. They were just basking in it. Behind the sofa is a collection of 100 celebrity memoirs of Doctor Who compiled by Steve Berry, with all profits from the book going to the Alzheimer's Research UK.
Is that a book?
Yeah, a book. Oh. Doctor Who magazine 445 is out, with a picture of Ace on the cover, as played at the time by Sophie Aldred. And there's really not much to lose, apart from there's location talk and...
shots.
And actors being cast, like Adrian Scarborough.
Who's that?
He's an actor. Who's appeared in various things. Do recognise him. Somebody called Dominic Kemp. Don't recognise him. And somebody called Ben Broder. Don't recognise him either. All right, Browder.
He was...
So you're not allowed to be pedantic when Kirby's not around.
Yeah.
Can I give information?
Yes, please.
He played the main character in the sci-fi series Farscape, and he also appeared in the last two seasons of Stargate SG-1.
Who and what, when and how, and I don't care.
But thanks for the information, nevertheless. Colin Baker and Fraser Hines have been added to the list of star names appearing in Brit Sci-Fi Weekend, taking place at the National Space Centre in Leicester tomorrow and Sunday, so that'll be yesterday then.
Today's Monday, and Sunday generally does come before Monday in the week.
And then by the time the podcast is released...
Anyway, Sylvester McCoy and Colin Baker have been named as special guests at the fundraising convention Norcon later this year, the event to be held...
Norcon? Surely that's got to be Nicola Bryan. Yeah.
The event to be held at the Holiday Inn Norwich, North in...
The Holiday Inn
Hellesden.
Yeah. Wow! Yeah. What a destination that
yes.
is.
Yes, Sarandone, Jones, Tom Ellis, David Warner, Sarah Smart and...
Sarandone?
Shush, artist star in modern day ghost story, Secret of Crickley Hall.
Do you reckon they all get their own double rooms with ensuite shower?
Power of the Daleks fan film convention to be held. The charity convention celebrating the fan film Power of the Daleks to be held later this year.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. And it says starring Nick Scovell as the Doctor and also feature Nicholas Briggs, Lisa Bowerman and Barbie Edwards.
I've seen a trailer for that.
Have you any good?
Looks pretty good.
Cool.
Yeah. They've got the new style Daleks. I mean, the you know, the one you're holding up in your... Facebook.
Yes.
Time War Daleks.
Facebook. Your Skype picture. Yeah. You know that
as Reese describes it, the Time War Daleks.
They've got them grey. They've got them as grey.
Cool.
So. It looks pretty good. It looks like it's got a bit of a budget behind it. So
excellent. Mm. And finally, remember that Doctor Who fan who claimed ownership of Davros?
Yeah.
This is what it says. A Doctor Who fan has renewed his bid to claim ownership of the character Davros. Steve Clark says that he came up with the name and submitted it with a design pictured right, as well as handwritten essay entitled Genesis of the Daleks, Creation of Davros for TV Action Competition in 1972. His entry didn't win the prize of a 17-inch colour TV set, but he says that both the name and the design...
17, count them.
Both the name and design were later used by the BBC without his permission. Davros was first seen in the series in Genesis of the Daleks in 1975. He's launched a high court proceedings last year for copyright breach after an attempt to come to an amicable solution with the corporation founded. Now, with the case on hold, a teacher's handwriting could decide the matter. Mr. Clark from Brabourne Lease in Kent says that his original sketch, done as he was 13, has comments written on it by David Tidy, who was a teacher at Duncan Bowen's School in Stanhope, Ashford, in the 1970s. He is now seeking former pupils to have books with Mr. Tidy's handwriting in them, which could be used to validate the writing on his sketch and therefore his claim.
Why hasn't he brought this up? I don't
he
know.
He did. He was brought up a few months ago.
Yeah,
it was brought up a few months ago. And,
but a few months ago. This happened, you know, Davros was
years
first
ago.
Case, yeah. Said that, in 1975, which I know because that was the year I was born, was 37 years ago. Why has it taken him that long to think, hold on a minute, I haven't had an accident recently. Maybe I can try and sue someone else.
Yeah, it is a bit odd. I mean, that's what does cast doubt over the whole thing, I'm afraid.
Well, no, you can't say that.
You know what?
Allegedly, sorry.
He's been copying the teacher's handwriting so he can write this supposed note from the teacher. That's why he spent all this year, these years perfecting writing.
Yeah, as I said a few seconds ago, allegedly, yes.
I mean, in a couple of years' time, I'm going to launch an action, a lawsuit against Russell T. Davis. Well, actually, I won't. I was going to say that
I'm Moffat.
I was going to pretend that I made up the Slitheen, but I won't because I don't want anyone thinking I made up the Slitheen.
Maybe you did after you had a couple of baked beans.
Now, listen to this, right? Something's just come up on Facebook, which does interest me. Thanks initially to Richard Culp, who said plans always go differently than you expect. He sent a small email, as we read out on the show. Robert Haynes said, great, we always enjoy your feedback. But then Ian Kirk said, Siobhan Galichon has congratulated the 20 megabyte on our 100th episode in Flash and Play 118 at about 13:55, so 13 minutes 55 seconds, as the Udcast has recently reviewed The Doctor, The Widow, etc. I expect 100 congratulations from them in time for the second anniversary in May. Thank you. Ian Kirk's a real proper card, isn't he? He really is a competition for Ben on the comedy front.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is he?
Just like, just like, I don't know, Ian. There's a real competition for him. Okay.
So anyway, the fourth Doctor Who, and his plucky girl assistant Leela, and their little tin doggy. Oh, which reminds me, by the way, congratulations to the 20 Megabyte podcast. They've just celebrated their 100th show. Congratulate Yay! Them. Oh, it's going to be such a long, long evening this evening. I can just tell. Anyway, yes, well done, Adam and Co. Seriously, well done. I meant to send something into you. I haven't.
Failed.
Badly. Yes, it was Vicky's fault.
It was.
It was. So anyway, yes.
Anyway, that Robert Haynes bloke posted a link to Zoe's butt.
You say Robert, hold on a minute, there's a link there, because in my ears that keeps on coming out as Robert Anus, and then you just
say it's funny you should say that when Isabella goes through the list of planets she's got to go through at the school thing in a few days' time, she can't pronounce the planet that comes after Neptune.
Uranus.
Something like that, yeah. Anyway, yes, the Zoe's butt link, yeah. So if you want to have a look at that, a very good
Zoe's
screen capture.
Butt link.
It's a very good capture of Zoe's butt.
Link,
yes. Talking of links, really? Nicholas Norx has only got four members. Interested. Now, do you know who the four members are?
Me, you,
yes. Everywhere. It's got four what?
Oh, please, Reese.
That should be posted.
Four
on
group members. Oh, God. You're getting worse, I tell you. I'm going to have to start playing the Benny Hill music behind you or anything you say soon.
I got that from Ben.
Did you? That's all. It's all your fault, Ben, apparently.
That's what she said.
Hey!
Adam?
Yes?
You know how you've got that new bit of Isabella at the end of the podcast?
Yes.
Are you tickling her when she's reading it out?
I can't remember what was going on there. I think she was just laughing, because usually when I try and get to do these links, she gets a bit upset, but I was just sort of laughing at her because she was cocking it up. I had to edit it together to edit out the bit she cocked up to make it into a coherent thing. And because I kept on laughing at the way she was mispronouncing things, that made her giggle. So that's how that came out.
It sounds like you're just standing there tickling her.
No. That wouldn't happen. She wouldn't stand there if I was tickling. She'd be on her back just going...
what?
She just collapses in a heap on the ground when you tickle her and lands on her back and just rolls around going...
I think you're getting mixed up between that and a slithine when you throw vinegar at me.
But anyway, I'm glad to see we've managed to get this done in a reasonable time of the day, and I can actually make the bed.
You can't be finished yet. It's only 12:30.
Cooking the dog's dinners. I can make
the
bed.
I was so bored last Monday when we'd finished. I went to play squash for an hour and a half.
Well, surely that's a good thing.
Did you survive that?
I did. I didn't die. And then I played.
Did he survive that and you're talking to him?
Yeah. No, I died.
Right, I'm just going to check the email account for the. Oh, I've updated the group artwork, which I haven't actually updated on the websites or anything above with the new email address. So the posters I mentioned on last week's show that we were giving out and sending out when I get a chance to will have the new email address in them. But I will eventually get around to updating all the artwork on the various websites and things. Next week we'll be discussing
these t-shirts are cool.
Bad Wolf and Parting of the Ways.
Ooh,
she said.
I'm really looking forward to seeing these two episodes because I do love them.
So am I.
Yes.
So that's one of the benefits.
I Nicola.
That's one of the benefits of doing this particular series.
That was around those type of. Season enders, series enders.
EastEnders.
But the kinds that I really was when I really looked forward to, you know, compared to recently. But
The thing is about the series enders, I don't like them because they're the end of the series, and I know I've got to wait a long time before we can watch some new Doctor Who.
An update on the podcast page.
Yes.
Christopher Martin now likes Zoe's butt as well. So.
Yeah, don't blame him.
Christopher Martin Jenkins, the 80-year-old commentator on Test Match Special in the UK.
Christopher Martin from Portsmouth. Portsmouth.
Portsmouth.
Smith. Yeah. Sorry.
Anyway, thank you for listening to the 20 Megabyte podcast this week. Although it's a lot earlier for us, it won't be any earlier for you because we need it. Oh, God, Reese is going to say something. Yes, Reese.
Murray Gold was born in Portsmouth.
Oh, for God's sake, was it really worth it? Anyway.
And it's a good song. It's a good song. Mike Oldfield does a good...
Yes, I know, I've got that record. It's very good, yes. Nothing to do with what we're talking about. This is called the end of the show.
It is. So.
No, it isn't.
The end of time.
No, it's called the end of the show. Oh, magic.
We should have a little section.
Magic. Attack.
The end of time.
Attack.
We should have a little section at the end of the show that we call any other business.
Go on, kill.
The end of the show. The whole show, you mean?
Go on, get him.
Yeah, all the way through the show. Doesn't quite matter when it is in the show. We'll just dive on.
See, they don't take any notice of your viciousness, Magic. It's a complete waste of time.
Viciousness.
Yeah, I'll tell you why that is, Adam. It's because it's a tiny little dog. You're on like they're in Australia.
This is called the magic of radio. I mean, podcasting. Ow, he just bit me.
Podcasting.
Oh, now he's licking me.
Bit you.
Attacking.
Adam's got okay.
Right, that's it. End of show. Bye.
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 When do you stop flapping your ears on the end of the program? And I'm delighted, yes, delighted to welcome back to the show in a surprise appearance at the end, Alicia.
Why am I here?
Because I got a text of Alistair Pearson. Very interesting text, actually. And I shall dictate it to you. In fact, I don't know if you'll find
it
interesting.
Why is it a paragraph? Why have you got me on here to read out a blimmin'
text? Because I need
text.
To get reaction from somebody.
Yeah, but you
this.
Might not like... You say you might not find it interesting, so...
Well, I'm hoping you will.
I might find it interesting.
You're going to listen to it, then?
No.
Please. Do you want to watch Global Rock?
No.
You're going to listen to it, then?
Yeah.
Right. Forwarding this from my mate Patrick. Oh, my God. Rumour City, read the following from a friend of mine. The Yahoo list. I'm on with Mark Mickle or somebody or other, and somebody else that I'm not going to mention. And the Obverse Books people is awash with rumours of missing episodes. Motherload. I quote, so what do we all think about the rumours doing the rounds, including from at least one person at the BBC? Who should know that all the missing Who from Smugglers onwards... Or alternatively, all the missing Who, except from the Dalek stories, are on the verge of being returned from a single overseas broadcaster. Smart money is being placed on Singapore. So what they're saying there, Alicia, is all the missing episodes after The Smugglers, so that's William Hartnell's last two stories, onwards. Apart from the Dalek stories, which is Power of the Daleks and the Evil of the Daleks, but yeah.
Mm.
So that means, remember when we were watching all the Hartnell stories and we got to 10th Planet and we couldn't watch the Regeneration episode properly because they've only got the first three episodes.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have watched all of that story.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have watched Highlanders with Fraser Hines in it, which has been missing. This is if it's true, obviously. And all of the Troughton era will be returned to the BBC if this is true. So that means the greatest Doctor, which is Troughton, will have virtually complete. Will be complete and be brilliant. Now, if that happens, I would be quite happy.
I know you would. Then we'll have more blooming Doctor Who DVDs.
Hmm. But, of course, it is just a rumour. But last time I got a text from this source, it was true.
What was the last text then?
That was to do... Oh, shall I look it up? That was to do with the two missing episodes that returned a short time ago. I'm pretty sure I got it from him first. I might have read it on... I'm pretty sure he told me. Hang on. Yeah, shall we look? Just received this. Two missing episodes have been recovered. Big story news to be announced this afternoon. And that's to do with Underwater Menace, Episode 2, and Galaxy 4, Episode 3. And that was true. It has actually happened. Now, listeners, Alicia may not be particularly excited by this news, because she doesn't understand.
I am. I don't like Classic Who, and you know I don't.
But come on, Alicia, you've watched it all. You know how important Doctor Who is. You know how annoying it was when we were watching him.
Yes.
Where we had to watch bits of stories, or no stories, because the episodes didn't exist.
Yes.
Yes, anyway.
It's nice to have you back on the show, by the way.
Thanks.
Thank you, listeners. See you next week.
Bye
bye.
Cart's robot now.
Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production. Is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is the trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.
You're not BBA.